RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Australian investors earmark 39 trillion rupiah for Indonesia. President Joko Widodo invited Indonesian citizens in Australia return to their homeland. Indonesian students in Russia will hold wonderful Indonesia festival. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo's work visit to Australia produced a number of agreements. In the economic field, a number of cooperation between the two countries will be realized in the new future. Head of the Investment Coordinating Board, BKPM, Thomas Lembong, said that the value of investments by Australian investors will reach 39 trillion rupiah. He said in a press release Tempo received on Monday, February 27, 2017. In the trade sector, Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita said Indonesia has gained access to the herbicides and pesticides market, with Australia's import value reaching $1.3 billion to $1.5 billion. With this, the value of Indonesia's export for both types of pesticides is expected to increase. Indonesia and Australia have also agreed on a relaxation in beef import will make beef prices decline by $1 per kilogram. Indonesian President Joko Widodo invited Indonesian citizens in Australia to return and build the country. The message has been conveyed by President Joko Widodo during a meeting with 2,500 Indonesian citizens in Sydney, Australia, on Sunday, February 26, 2017. As quoted by Kompas, President Joko Widodo said, Indonesia requires human resources that have intelligence, skill, integrity, and high productivity. Only with the smart people, Indonesia is able to compete with other countries. The arrival of President Joko Widodo, who was accompanied by First Lady Iriana, gained warm welcome from the Indonesian citizens who were present at the event. Indonesian Students Association in Russia, Permira, in cooperation with the Indonesian Embassy in Moscow, Russia, will hold wonderful Indonesia festival themed Harmoni dalam Keberagaman Hamparan Budaya di Setiap Sudut Negeri, or Harmony in Diversity of Culture in Every Corner of the State, on April 28, 2017. This was delivered by Chairman of Student Association Permira, Jeff Timothy Kalengkongan, in St. Petersburg, Russia, on Sunday, February 26, 2017.
Kegiatan seperti ini bukanlah kali pertama Permira mengusung konsep Festival Indonesia.
The activity is not the first time for the Association of Indonesian Students in Russia brings the concept of Indonesian Festival. Because it has already been the first time the Permira held Indonesian Festival. The first time was held in the city of Rostov, then in Volgograd, Kazan, and the first time was held in St. Petersburg. Jeff added that the festival will feature cultural exhibition, music and dance performances, fashion shows, and photo booths, which will be aimed to present the cultural diversity that spread in Indonesia to the people of Russia. Additionally, through this festival, it is expected to be festive and introducing Indonesian culture and the vision of Bhinneka Tunggal Ika, or unity in diversity, to the people of Russia can be achieved. The Association of Indonesian Travel Agencies ASITA Bali stated that the visit of King of Saudi Arabia Salman bin Abdul Aziz Al Saud for holiday in Bali is expected to become a major promotion of tourism, especially for tourists from the Middle East. The chairman of ASITA Bali, Ketut Ardana, in Denpasar, Bali on Sunday, February 26, said the visit of Saudi Arabian king is a promotion for Bali and Indonesia. The visit will also be the spotlight of the world, especially the people of Saudi Arabia. Ketut Ardana expected the arrival of Saudi Arabian king will also bring an immediate impact, especially in the tourism sector for tourists from the Middle East. He predicted that Bali tourism potential will be better known by tourists from countries in the Middle East region. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. PT KGI Securities Indonesia projects that the property and construction sectors will strengthen this year after falling behind last year. KGI Securities Indonesia senior researcher Yuganur Wijanarko recently wrote in his research that the property and construction sector will rise in 2017. According to Yuganur, there are plenty of positive catalysts that favor the sector's performance, which is good considering they are the holding of other subsectors such as cement and steel. Yuganur also said that, based on observation, the risk of price debt declines for construction and property stocks are becoming more limited. Yuganur said construction is the motor to build Indonesia's infrastructure in a bid to reach the same levels of other industrialized countries in Asia and the world. KGI Securities Indonesia recommends several constructions and property stocks, including Waskita, Adikarya, Pakuan, and Bumi Serpong Damai. The alleged bomb suspect at Pandawa Park, Bandung, early this morning on Monday, February 27, 2017, has been taken by authorities in an ambulance. Previously, West Java Police Chief Anton Charlian stated that police court faced resistance at the suspect's hiding place inside the Arjuna sub-district office. The second floor of the office was burned off by the suspect right after employees who were working at the office were told to leave. Police negotiation did not succeed. Police Mobile Brigade continued the siege of the perimeter of the sub-district office. A gunfight between the police and the bombing suspect was heard at the location. Police have yet to identify the type of firearm used by the suspect. Not long after, the suspect was apprehended by the police. Anton said a gunshot can be heard when police officers were entering the building, but the suspect was successfully neutralized. He also said the suspect was wounded, but the wound hasn't been identified. Indonesian Industry Minister Erlangga Hartarto visited gold jewelry maker PT Untung Bersama Sejahtera in Surabaya, East Java on Monday, February 27, 2017, to learn more about the industry so that his ministry would be able to create a policy to support the export jewelry sector. He said in a press statement, which issued on Monday, that the purpose of this visit is to get input about the development of the jewelry sector in the country, so the ministry can give proper guidance. Minister Erlangga was glad that the PT Untung Bersama Sejahtera shared information about its success during the visit, so the ministry could do more training for thousands of jewelry makers in the province. Jewelry has traditionally been one of Indonesia's biggest export commodities. Last year, East Java contributed to 54.08% or $3.44 billion of $6.36 billion national jewelry export. The commodity was the fourth biggest export, Central Statistics Agency data shows. The last item. At the end of February, the tax amnesty program has seen increases in the participation of taxpayers. The third period of tax amnesty program will end in late March. As observed by Tempo that as of February 26, more than 4,400 trillion rupiah worth of assets has been declared through the Assets Declaration Letters, SPH. The assets being declared in the SPH are more than 3,200 trillion rupiah in domestically declared assets, more than 1,000 trillion rupiah in overseas declared assets. Moreover, the distribution fees based on SPH submitted in the tax amnesty program have reached 104 trillion rupiah. Earlier, the Director General of Tax, Ken Dwi Jugiastiri, said that he had planned three fresh approaches to optimize the result of the tax amnesty program. Ken elaborated that the first step is to launch an app to disclose bank secrets called Aplikasi Usulan Buka Rahasia Bank, or Akasia. Listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Australian investors earmark 39 trillion rupiah for Indonesia. Indonesian President Joko Widodo invited Indonesian citizens in Australia return to their homeland. Indonesian students in Russia will hold wonderful Indonesia festival. That was the news.
Listener, a commentary to the entitling Indonesia-Australia bilateral relations. The relationship between Indonesia and Australia has a long history, namely since the struggle for Indonesian independence. Australia is one of the first countries in the world that recognized the rights of Indonesian independence. In its development, the bilateral relations of the two countries have ups and downs. This occurs because of differences related to political systems, social conditions, economy, and culture of both countries. However, the geographical fact, which shows that Indonesia and Australia are neighboring countries, is a factor that drives the need to interact in a conducive way to maintain the regional stability. History records that the bilateral relations between Indonesia and Australia have fluctuated from time to time. Australia was once the representative of Indonesia at the United Nations Goodwill Commission, known as a Three-State Commission, to discuss the formal recognition of the Republic of Indonesia in 1949. However, the relation has strained due to various reasons, starting from East Timor, Papua, illegal fishing, terrorism, smuggling, as well as issues on drug trafficking, which is legal processed. In April 2015, for example, Indonesian President Joko Widodo acknowledged the Australian request to grant pardons to convicted drug traffickers Andrew Chand and Muraren Sukumarant until finally they were executed. But the successful visit of Prime Minister of Australia, Malcolm Turnbull, to Jakarta in the same year was seen to break the tension. Recently, Indonesia has been forced to temporarily stop its military cooperation with Australia due to a technical problem concerning the training materials considered to vilify the Indonesian military and insult Pancasila, the state ideology of Indonesia. Regardless of the political tension between Indonesia and Australia, in fact, the two countries need each other. Australian Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, DVAT, describes the relationship with Indonesia as one of the most important parts of Australia, especially cooperation in trade, tourism, combating tourism, education and culture, which are mutually beneficial. Hopefully, the two-day state visit of President Joko Widodo to Australia from February 25th to 26, 2017 can strengthen the relationship and cooperation in various fields as well as improve the economy of both countries. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History. We begin with an event which occurred on February 27, 1971, when Professor Suharto died. Professor Dr. Suharto is a hero of humanity,
As a Dr. Red Cross, he plunged into battle front to treat people who get injured, especially the disabled people. Because of his struggle of humanity, Dr. Rosso received various awards either from domestic or abroad. He passed away on 27 of February 1971 due to heart attack and was buried in Boyolali, Central Java. The state conferred Suharto a title of National Hero through Presidential Decree on 6 November 1973. The name of Professor Dr. Suharto is immortalized as the name of hospital and street in Solo and also worshipped of Indonesian Navy. The next event was in 2007 when Pegaruyon Palace in West Sumatra was destroyed by fire. Pegaruyon Palace in Minangkabau Istano Basah Pegaruyon is the royal palace of the former Pegaruyon Kingdom located in Tanjung Emas sub-district near Batu Sangkar Town, Tanah Datar Regency, West Sumatra, Indonesia. It was built in the traditional Minangkabau Rumagadan vernacular architectural style, but had a number of typical elements including three-story structure and larger dimension compared to Kemon Rumagadan. The palace was destroyed by fire on evening of February 27, 2007, after it was struck by lightning. It was estimated only 50% of the valuable artifacts survived. Today, the surviving artifacts are stored in Balai Benda Purbakala, Kabupaten Tanah Datar, which means Archaeology Authority of Tanah Datar Regency. The Pusaka or the Helron of Pegaruyon Kingdom was stored in Siliduan Bulan Palace, located about 2 km from Pegaruyon Palace. The restoration of the building has taken 6 years and estimated of 20 billion rupiah, around $1.71 to complete. The building was completed and inaugurated by Indonesian President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono in October 2013. And the last event was in 2010 when Chile earthquake occurred. The 2010 Chile earthquake occurred off the coast of central Chile on Saturday 27 February at around 3:34 local time PM or around 6:34 UTC, having a magnitude of 8.8 on the Mohmind magnitude scale, with intense shaking lasting for about 3 minutes. It was felt strongly in 6 Chilean regions, from Valparaiso in the north of Araucasia in the south, that together make up about 80% of the country's population. The earthquake triggered a tsunami which devastated several coastal towns in south-central Chile and damaged the port of Talcahuano. The earthquake also generated a blackout that affected 93% of the Chilean population and went on for several days in some locations. President Michelle Bachelet declared a state of catastrophe and sent military troops to take control of the most affected areas. According to official sources, 525 people lost their lives, 25 people went missing, and about 9% of the population in the affected regions lost their homes. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, it's nice to be with you in our regular program Focus through our rival service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The theme of today's focus is Indonesian government's commitment to build sustainable maritime sector. The government of Indonesia recognizes that the maritime sector is very important for the national economy. One of the Indonesian government's commitment is to build maritime sector in a sustainable manner. Vice President Yusuf Kalla, when delivering a keynote speech at the meeting of the World Ocean Summit 2017 in Nusa Dua, Bali on last Thursday, said that President Joko Widodo has affirmed Indonesia's new maritime vision. It emphasizes a balance between economic growth and sustainability, and has five elements, namely by improving maritime security, diplomacy, connectivity, and culture, also enhancing the maritime resources. Vice President Yusuf Kalla views that the Indonesian government has continued sustainable maritime development by strengthening instruction and related institutions in implementing the national strategy projects in the maritime field. He also remarked that the government realizes that the development is a risk to sustainability of the oceans, such as increased CO2 emissions, plastic waste, and overfishing. Therefore, Vice President Yusuf Kalla asserted that law enforcement at sea, both related to illegal fishing, unreported, unregulated fishing, as well as other transnational crimes, will continue to be improved. In his speech, Vice President Yusuf Kalla also noted the potential environmental damage on sustainable development due to excessive exploration that becomes a threat. He added that economic development does not exclude the preservation of the ecosystem. The Vice President also highlighted the importance of global partnerships and international cooperation, such as the development of innovative financial mechanisms and research, as well as increasing the capacity of the marine community. The marine sector contributes 20% to gross domestic product GDP of Indonesia and absorbs 11.38% of the national workforce. Vice President also remarked that to increase the GDP from the maritime sector, Indonesia must find a niche as well as wisely as possible. He said, "Water potential in Indonesia is still huge but untapped. Therefore, Indonesia is now focusing on promoting the concept of the blue economy." For Indonesia, the blue economy includes three mutually reinforcing aspects, namely capitalizing on the maritime economy, which contains extraordinary potential, ensuring the conservation and protection of marine ecosystems run in economic activity with a view to rescue and sustainable development, and appreciating the social characteristics and unique culture of people who are connected with the sea. Indonesia is now developing a number of pilot projects in the blue economy at the Indian Ocean coast, such as Global Blue Economy Program implementation in cooperation with the FAO, to be expected to create 77,700 new jobs and to generate revenue worth 1.3 trillion rupiah per year. Meanwhile, Coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan said that one of the threats in the management of sustainable marine is plastic waste in the ocean. It threatens the lives of fish, mammals, seabirds, up to coral reefs. The plastic waste also threatens Indonesian tourism wealth. The injured party at the end is the local population, because tourists are not interested in revisiting tourist attractions which are full of trash. He explained that Indonesia is currently more concerned about the environment. In addition, the government also encourages cooperation with the private sector, including research institutions, to ensure sustainable management of marine resources. Infrastructure development also needs to support the fishing industry so that fishermen are more efficient in production. The World Ocean Summit 2017 in Nusa Dua, Bali, from February 22nd to 24th, brought together more than 360 global leaders from government, industry, multilateral organizations, academic, and community to discuss issues related to the future of the oceans through constructive dialogue and solutions. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo's work visit to Australia produced a number of agreements. In the economic field, a number of cooperation between the two countries will be realized in the near future. Head of the Investment Coordinating Board BKPM, Thomas Lembong, said that the value of investments by Australian investors will reach 39 trillion rupiah. Indonesian President Joko Widodo invited Indonesian citizens in Australia to return and build the country. The message has been conveyed by President Joko Widodo during a meeting with 2,500 Indonesian citizens in Sydney, Australia, on Sunday, February 26. Indonesian Students Association in Russia, Permira, in cooperation with the Indonesian Embassy in Moscow, Russia, will hold Wonderful Indonesia Festival themed Harmony dalam Keberagaman Hamparan Budaya di Setiap Sudut Negeri, or Harmony in Diversity of Culture in Every Corner of the State, on April 28. This was delivered by Chairman of Student Association Permira, Chef Timothy Kalengkongan, in St. Petersburg, Russia, on Sunday, February 26. The Association of Indonesian Travel Agencies Asita Bali stated that the visit of King of Saudi Arabia Salman bin Abdul Aziz Al Saud for holiday in Bali is expected to become a media promotion of tourism, especially for tourists from the Middle East. PT KGI Securities Indonesia projects that the property and construction sectors will strengthen this year after falling behind last year. KGI Securities Indonesia senior researcher Yuga Nurwijanarko recently wrote in his research that the property and construction sector will rise in 2017. The alleged bomb suspect at Pandawa Park, Bandung, early this morning on Monday, February 27, 2017, has been taken by authorities in ambulance. Previously, West Java Police Chief Anton Charlian stated that police squad faced resistance at the suspect's hiding place inside the Arjuna sub-district office. Indonesian Industry Minister Erlangga Hartarto visited gold jewelry maker PT Untung Bersama Sejahtera in Surabaya, East Java, on Monday, February 27, to learn more about the industry so that his ministry would be able to create a policy to support the export jewelry sector. The last item. At the end of February, the tax amnesty program has seen increases in the participation of taxpayers. The third period of tax amnesty program will end in late March. As observed by Tempo, that as of February 26, more than 4,400 trillion rupiah worth of assets has been declared through the assets declaration letters. Listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and let's speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit Trenggalek, East Java Province. Listeners, Trenggalek Regency is located in East Java Province. Its central government is located at Trenggalek Sub-District, which has distance 180 kilometers from Surabaya, the capital city of East Java. Trenggalek has special scenery because it is surrounded by mountains, which are connected one another. Besides having interesting tourism objects, Trenggalek Regency also has many typical foods. One of them is gegok rice, which is usually mentioned sego gegok by the local people. Gegok rice has its own characteristic. This rice is spicy, which is completed with anchovy. Trenggalek people believe that gegok rice can treat nasal congestion due to colds, and besides, it is also able to eliminate dizziness. Gegok rice is daily food of Trenggalek people, especially at Bendungan sub-district. Listeners, to taste the original gegok rice, you have to go to Bendungan. From Trenggalek City to Bendungan, it takes around 15 minutes by car. Along the trip, you will feel mountainous fresh air. One portion of the gegok rice is not quite big, so you are able to eat 2 until 3 portions. The stall of gegok rice does not only sell gegok rice, but also provides fried tempeh, quail eggs, satay, and many others. The appearance of the gegok rice is simple because it is only wrapped by banana leaf and has typical aroma. Listeners, in one portion of the gegok rice, there is one rice, side dish, and also condiment of anchovy and slices of fried tempeh. To make gegok rice is quite easy. The rice, which has been wrapped with a banana leaf and cooked, a half cook, is given anchovy condiment and then steamed for 15 minutes. To get spicy flavor, it's better to use sayen. To enjoy a portion of gegok rice, you only pay 5,000 rupiah. For side dish, you have to pay extra. The gegok rice is more delicious if you eat the rice with hot drink at the stall. Listeners, if you are in Trenggalek, please try to taste the gegok rice. Well, listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring gegok rice from Trenggalek, East Java Province. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Membuat Tahu Bulat, Bagian 1, which in English means Making Round Tofu, Part 1. Stay tuned. Listener, as usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. Membuat. Membuat in English, to make. Tahu. Tahu in English, tofu. Bulat. Bulat in English, round. Penjual. Penjual in English, seller. Apa. Apa in English, what? Banyak sekali. Banyak sekali in English, so many. Pembeli. Pembeli in English, buyer. Sekarang. Sekarang in English, now. Makanan, makanan in English, food. Terkenal, terkenal in English, famous. Suka, suka, to like. Tua, tua, old. Muda, muda, young. Membeli, membeli, to buy. Sendiri, sendiri, alone. Takut, takut, be afraid. Minyak goreng, cooking oil. Tidak bagus, not good. Mengapa, mengapa, in English, why. Alergi, alergi, in English, allergy. Batuk, batuk, in English, cough. Now we give you an example of conversation entitled Membuat Tahu Bulat Bagian 1, or in English means Making Round Tofu Part 1. The conversation is between A. Erna and B. Wati in front of Wati's home. A. Erna. Wati, penjual apa itu? Wati, penjual apa itu? In English, Wati, what does the seller sell? Banyak sekali pembelinya. Banyak sekali pembelinya. In English, there's so many buyers. B. Wati, itu adalah penjual tahu bulat. Itu adalah penjual tahu bulat. In English, that is a round tofu seller. Sekarang ini tahu bulat sedang menjadi makanan yang terkenal di Jakarta. Sekarang ini tahu bulat sedang menjadi makanan yang terkenal di Jakarta. In English, currently the round tofu is a favorite food among people in Jakarta. Tahu bulat disukai tua dan muda. Tahu bulat disukai tua dan muda. In English, the round tofu is liked by old and young people. A. Erna. Kalau begitu, saya juga mau beli tahu bulat. Kalau begitu, saya juga mau beli tahu bulat. In English, so I also want to buy the round tofu. B. Wati. Bagaimana kalau kita buat sendiri? Bagaimana kalau kita buat sendiri? In English, why don't we make it by ourselves? Kalau membeli, saya takut minyak gorengnya tidak bagus. Kalau membeli, saya takut minyak gorengnya tidak bagus. In English, if we buy it, I'm not sure about the cooking oil the seller uses. A. Erna, mengapa? Mengapa? In English, why? Apakah kamu alergi? Apakah kamu alergi? In English, are you allergic? B. Wati, ya. Minyak goreng yang tidak bagus membuat saya batuk. Ya. Minyak goreng yang tidak bagus membuat saya batuk. In English, yes, I am. Bad quality cooking oil can make me cough. A. Erna, apakah kamu bisa membuat tahu bulat? Apakah kamu bisa membuat tahu bulat? In English, can you make the round tofu? B. Wati, tentu saja. Tentu saja. In English, certainly I can. Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again next week with a different topic. Thanks for your attention. See you and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the Regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to an Indonesian music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we will present some beautiful keroncong songs sung by Indonesian talented female singers. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Pandangan Pertama by Sri Hartati. Happy listening.
Pada pandangan yang pertama, hati telah terpesona pada siapa ku bertanya, gerangan apa sebabnya. Pada pandangan yang pertama, serasa hati bertemu, tiada kata yang terucapkan, semuanya diam membisu. Pun menyesal di dada, lenyap segala rencana. Pada pandangan yang pertama, aku telah jatuh cinta.
Listener, as the title of the song tells the story of love at the first sight. No words were spoken and no one can avoid about that. Usually, the theme about pandangan pertama or the first sight, much raised in a number of works, both written work, film, and song. Nevertheless, the theme and story with the theme of love at the first sight seems never runs out. The Kroncong song Pandangan Pertama was nicely sung by Sri Hartati. Her voice is melodious with a distinctive vocal color makes this song more enjoyable to be listened. Listener, now let's listen to the next song entitled Kesayangan by Tri Novianti. Happy listening.
Thank you.
Listener, memories of the past sometimes come suddenly, without realizing, especially fond memories with beloved one. The song Kesayangan tells about someone who recalled fond memories when listening the favorite song on the radio. The beautiful old memories come back, inviting the wish to see again. That was a glimpse of the song Kesayangan sung by Tri Novianti. Tri Novianti, who has a melodious and gentle voice, often performed at the Kroncong Music Jam segment at the national television station TVRI. But due to illness, she was vacuumed for quite a long time from the music industry. But she began to sing before the public after her condition began to improve a few years later. Well, listener, to conclude our program for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Lili Bungaku by Juliana. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa. Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz. 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.